Good morning. Let's turn to Romans chapter 6. Romans 6. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace might increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, that our body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we also live with him. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again, death no longer is master over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey its lusts. And do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? May it never be. Do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death, or of obedience resulting in righteousness? But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you have been committed. And having been freed from sin, you become slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, resulting in sanctification. For when you were slaves of sin, you were freed in regard to righteousness. Therefore, what benefit were you then deriving from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the outcome of those things is death. But now, having been freed from sin and enslaved to God, you derive your benefit, resulting in sanctification and the outcome, eternal life. For the wage of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen. And so chapter 6 begins Paul's kind of teaching. That kind of goes not necessarily in another direction, but he adds on to what he's been teaching already. And now, we talked about righteousness as a necessary status, right, of men before God. And now from 6:1 to almost the end of chapter 8, Paul's going to talk about righteousness as the manner of living before the Lord in this Christian life. The first part, from 1 to 14, he talks about the fallacy, right, that we should, that we'll keep sinning, that grace might abound. And then later on in the chapter, he talks about the fallacy, right, of sinning because believers are under grace and not the law now. And so this is how he continues his thought. And so first of all, right, he puts two scenarios or two experiences together that's going to clarify this picture for us. The first scenario, right, is the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of this experience because of this event that took place in God, we were able to have all this life, all these things that he's talking about. And then he mirrors that experience with baptism. You know, and in Romans chapter 6 is really one of the great passages that deal with baptism, right? And it's the same picture. Jesus on the cross died, he was buried, and then he was resurrected, right? In that same way, in one single act, you can't really find this anywhere else in the scriptures, right? Or even much so in the Christian life. But in one physical act or physical commitment that we make, we totally mirror, right, the life, the death, the resurrection, the burial of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, on the 29th, we'll be here at the church, and we'll have I think 5 or 6 of our members, that will have died to sin, and that's what he's talking about. We've died to our old self. We've died to sin, Right? We've been buried with Christ, which is going under the water, you know, and then we'll rise. The resurrection happens. You know, and so this is why the Lord commands us to, you know, to be baptized. You know, because in the physical act, it mirrors, right, the historical event, but also a spiritual act. You know, and there's, again, there's not too many things that are such a perfect mirror of one another like baptism is. And he's saying, and since you were, look, he says, look, you were baptized. So he's talking to believers. You were baptized. Remember, you died to sin. You died to yourselves. You know, you died to your old way of living. You buried those things. You were buried with God, and then you're resurrected, and you came up as a new creation, as a new life. You know, and so, you know, he's reminding them of these things. And then he talks about the abundant life, right? The phrase that he uses, this life alive in God. And he talks about the differences here, right? The key is verse 10. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Then it continues, do not let sin reign in your bodies, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Right? And so what he's talking about here, right, he's talking about the key to an abundant life. I mean, listen, church, okay? There is a difference from having an eternal life, right, and having an abundant life. Do you guys understand that? Right? An eternal life is something laid out for the future for us, okay? The abundant life is what is made available to every single one of us today. Right, you know, remember, you know, he said in Mark, he says, no one has given up houses, mothers, brothers, sisters, will have 10 times more, right, or 100 times more in this life, and then the life to come, eternal life. You know, and so the picture that you know, that Jesus is talking about, right, there is eternal life. Yes, you're saved. Praise God, hallelujah, you know. But are you living the abundant life? And he says that this is where the believer has a choice to make. Right? You can continue to present your bodies to sin and unrighteousness and become lawlessness, etc. Or you can now present your bodies to righteousness. You know, and in Paul's economy, that righteousness, right, this manner of living leads to abundant life. Right? I mean, you know, let's be really honest, right? Churches all over the world are filled with people, right, that have eternal life by faith, but that do not live the abundant life by faith. You guys understand what I'm saying? Right? There's a difference. Right? You know, Jesus, right? You know, John 10:10, I came that you might have life and have it abundantly, overflowing to the full. You know, and this is the kind of life that God wants you to have. Right? Salvation, you know, or eternal life, right, is a business transaction, but it's a faith and it's a trust in God, you know, and so your fate eternally is sealed. But what happens, it transpires in this life, right, is dictated by the choices that you make, you know, and we understand there's a lot of truth to that, you know. You can choose to go down this path, or you can choose to go down this path. One path, right, will lead to lawlessness. The other path will lead to abundant life. You know, I mean, just take a moment and just think about, you know, the choices that you've made, you know, in the last year or so. You know, some of you guys, you've made incredible choices, and you chose the path of righteousness. And as a result, overflowing abundance has flowed in your life. Others, you've chose not to take that path, you know, and things just happen. Right, and not such positive things. Now, listen very carefully. This does not mean that if, you know, like if maybe some unfortunate circumstances happen to you, right, that you deserve it, right, or that some, you know, like in the sense that something you didn't do something properly or whatnot. You know, sometimes it's not, you know, just 1 + 1 = you know 2. Sometimes it doesn't operate that way, right? But as a general idea. You know, and this is what Paul is saying, right? You know, it's one thing for you to live in Christ. It's another thing for you, right, for Christ to live through you. You know, and this is what God wants to do in our lives, right? The abundant life is a yielded life. You know, it's a life that's committed and given over to the Lord. You know, and then, you know, he talks about, you know, these things. Listen, right? He says, look, who you obey That is your master. You know, whoever it is you obey, right? That's the path that you chose. You continue to obey unrighteousness, lawlessness, you're going to get lawlessness, right? But you obey, right? Your master is God, right? And it's righteousness, you're going to reap sanctification. You know, and Paul, you know, it's kind of, I mean, really kind of even black and white, just saying these are paths that we choose. You know, our lives, if you really sit and think about it, our lives are the sum of the decisions that we made in our life. Right? It is. Our life is the decision, right, is the sum of the decisions that we've made in our lives. You know, the college that you chose, you know, plays, you know, a huge role in your formation. You know, the job that you're in right now, the church that you go to, you know what I mean? You know, I mean, think in these just very natural terms, right? You know, I mean, you know, Janie and Kenny just got married, right? You know, what if Kenny decided, you know, during that time when there was an invitation from guys at SP to come to church, what if Kenny just said, I don't feel like it. No, I'm not going to do it, right? He'd still be pretty much, I don't know what you'd be doing, actually, you know, and stuff, but he probably wouldn't be married to Janie. You know, I probably wouldn't be working at the church. We are the sum of the decisions that we make in our lives, right? And what Paul is urging us to do is he says, listen, make good decisions, right? Because this is the manner of the Christian life. It's righteousness. It's righteousness, right? You know, we can't divorce ourselves, you know, from our thinking or our belief and our actions. Right, it doesn't work that way, you know. And you know, he's urging us. Look, this is the manner, right, of how righteousness is lived out in our lives, right? It's lived out, right, through the way that we live our life, right, through righteousness, you know. And he concludes, right, and he says, look, it's a fact, right? For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. You know, sin, this path of unrighteousness, right? And if you're confused in any way, some of the readers, look, is death, right? There's a physical death, right? There's a separation that happens even in yourself, right? Of soul and spirit. There's a separation that occurs. There's a spiritual separation that occurs in the sense that now you are separated from God. And then there's an eternal separation that occurs, you know, in that same way where, you know, you're now excluded from the mercy of God. You know, I mean, if it continues on until your death on this earth, right? And so he's saying, hey, the ways of sin, this path of unrighteousness, you know, it's death, right? But God gives us this gift, this grace of life for us, you know, and Paul's urging, choose life. Choose life. All right, so let's close our eyes today. Right, the believer has a choice. He may yield to God or she may yield to God by faith and enjoy abundant life, or he or she may yield to sin and endure a defeated life. The Lord wants to empower you to live an abundant life. That's always been His heart. But there's a partnership that works here. And all He's urging us is to walk in this partnership with Him. See, you need to have a paradigm shift, right? When God says no or don't do this, it's not because He's some kind of cosmic killjoy. Because God in His infinite wisdom knows that that choice, this road leads to death. And we've been adults long enough, right? We know this. We understand this. Right? There are just certain things, you know. God says, you know, don't, this is going to be harmful for you. But yet, we, even as adults, we look at obedience, submission, you know, sacrifice, and all these words are very negative. I want the Holy Spirit to do a brain surgery on us, mind surgery, that you begin to look at those words as being very positive, because it leads to eternal life. As Monica leads us in a song, ask the Lord to change your mindset, that you would not look at obedience, submission, sacrifice as being negative, but positive in God, because God loves us. He can't do anything outside of that nature of love. And so when He asks us and commands us, right, the command is out of love. Let's pray simply that, right? That we would be alive in God. You know, Paul is saying that God has bestowed this grace upon us, not we could sin more, so that we can live even more for God. Right? He's given us this freedom, right? Not to do whatever we want, right? So that we could do what God wants. You know, this incredible grace bestowed on us, right? That we could live for God now and be alive in Him and enjoy this abundant life. Now, let's pray that for ourselves. Let's pray, God, I want to live an abundant life. God, I want a paradigm shift in my mind. Lord, it's not about what I can do. It's not about what I can get, God, but what I can offer to you, Lord. Let's just go before the Lord. Let's pray for our community that are ill right now, the different forms of cancer or tumors or going through chemotherapy. They're up on the screen. Let's just continue to lift them up before the Lord and ask God's healing word to come over them. Pray for our community that are ill, but more than that, just need that word of salvation in their life, and others that are sick and going through job searches. So let's just lift them up. Pray our mission focus, and let's lift up Cambodia. Now let's pray for Pastor Oh, and pray for Pastor Tang and New Life Church. Pray for the orphanage and Grace and Bloom. Let's ask the Lord to continue to move throughout this country and just begin to redeem all that's been lost over the years. Let's ask God to come. Let's pray for our Indonesian ministry. Pray for Pastor Salamat and the leaders there. Ask God to continually use them to minister effectively here in Hong Kong and in Meifu. Let's pray for the Hong Kong Korean Church and ask the Lord to continue to bless them. We have a joint service on the 29th together. Let's pray for a real fruitful time and in a sense, bring some closure in our relationship together. And so let's pray. Let's pray for our church ministries, our IP team. Pray for Matt and Leanne leading a Cascade in the Well with Larry. Pray for all the volunteers that are serving. Let them, you know, really pray that they would be used as agents of change and transformation and wholeness and healing here at church. And just God would protect them and their lives as they're in the front lines fighting the good fight on behalf of the church. Let's just lift up. To start house church this week. So let's pray for our house churches meeting this week. To start the new seasons, pray for Harborside and Lam Kwai Fong, Old Peak, Seymour and Star Street. Let's pray for all the leaders and all the members that would gather together. You know, there'd be a lot of excitement and, you know, a lot of joy in finally meeting together. Pray for God's presence to come and, you know, as people share about their fast and what God is doing with them and kind of what God is, you know, giving them a vision of for this next year. You know, pray the Holy Spirit would come and just move upon each of their hearts. Let's just lift up. Ran out of personal prayer requests, and so I'll close the meeting. But if you would like the church to pray for you during this time, we have a week left, and please send your email to Bonnie. Father, we thank you. God, we bless you today, Lord. God, we want to be alive in you, God. Lord, I pray that you give us the strength, the courage, God, the discipline, Lord, the choose, God, the path that leads to life, and not the one that leads to destruction, God. Lord, I pray that you would change our mindset, God. Lord, that we would, God, have a paradigm shift when we see and hear the word discipline, command, God, obedience, Lord, sacrifice. God, when we, submission, when we hear those words, that we don't automatically, Lord, take it negatively, God. But Lord, that you would just turn that in our minds, Lord, because we understand that it flows out of love. And so teach us, God. Teach us, Lord. We thank you, Father. Watch over us, Lord, the rest of this day. Help us to continue to draw near to you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you guys. Have a great day today. And we'll see you guys tomorrow.